vitalizing doctrine in the mouths of the apostles became in the mouth of the scribe another thing altogether, and power went from it. As the letter triumphed, the spirit withdrew, and textualism ruled supreme. It was the time of the believer's Babylonian captivity. In the interest of accuracy, it should be said that this was a general condition only. Certainly, there were some, even in those low times, whose longing hearts were better theologians than their teachers were. These pressed on to a fullness and power unknown to the rest. But they were not many, and the odds were too great. They could not dispel the mist that hung over the land. The error of textualism is not doctrinal. It is far more subtle than that, and much more difficult to discover. But its effects are just as deadly. Not its theological beliefs are at fault, but its assumptions. It assumes, for instance, that if we have the word for a thing, we have the thing itself. If it is in the Bible, it is in us. If we have the doctrine, we have the experience. If something was true of Paul, it is of necessity true of us, because we accept Paul's epistles as divinely inspired. The Bible tells us how to be saved, but textualism goes on to make it tell us that we are saved, something which in the very nature of things it cannot do. Assurance of individual salvation is thus no more than a logical conclusion drawn from doctrinal premises, and the resultant experience wholly mental. Revolt from mental tyranny. Then came the revolt. The human mind can endure textualism just so long before it seeks a way of escape. So, quietly and quite unaware that any revolt was taking place, the masses of fundamentalism reacted, not from the teaching of the Bible, but from the mental tyranny of the scribes. With the recklessness of drowning men, they fought their way up for air and struck out blindly for greater freedom of thought and for the emotional satisfaction their natures demanded, and their teachers denied them. The result over the last 20 years has been a religious debauch hardly equaled since Israel worshipped the golden calf. Of us Bible Christians, it may truthfully be said that we sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. The separating line between the church and the world has been all but obliterated. Aside from a few of the grosser sins, the sins of the unregenerated world are now approved by a shocking number of professedly born-again Christians and copied eagerly. Young Christians take as their models the rankest kind of worldlings and try to be as much like them as possible. Religious leaders...